You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
Welcome back, K-State Nation, to another edition of the Purple Project Podcast. All things K-State Victory Monday night, October 23rd, 2023. Eddie Greer III here in Manhattan, Kansas. How about that? Too many 23s in that little line there to open up this podcast. Postcast K-State domination, taking TCU out of Manhattan, 41-3. I bring up my co-host Alex Aiden in just a minute here. Of course, if it's your first time new to this podcast, this other K-State podcast, the Purple Project Podcast, all things K-State, thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode here tonight, or whenever you listen to this, maybe it's your first listen on a Tuesday or later on in the week. Appreciate you guys for once again checking out this podcast and making this part of your K-State podcast. Listen, there's a few other podcasts out there, like Three Mall, the Power Cat Game, Power Cat Podcast, to name a couple out there as well. So we appreciate that as well. You love what you're hearing tonight. Make sure you continue to spread the word about Triple P, the Purple Project Podcast. All right, that's done, folks. Now it's time to be on my coast out there in San Diego, California, none other than the other half of the postcast of the podcast, Alex Aiden. Alex, how you doing tonight?
Doing good, Eddie. Doing good. I was just for the podcast. I was eating some taco salad, as I told you prior to this call, and I was listening to the Insiders. There's another one that's a good listen with Tim Fitzgerald and really an alternating crew. But this last week, it was Glenn Kinley, Ryan Wallace was not on this one. Cole Carmody was not on this one. You know, I just watched it now. I can't remember who was on there outside of Glenn Kinley. But either way, Ryan Gilbert was on there too. But either way, that's another good one to listen to. Lots of KJ thoughts out there, but doing good, Andy. This last weekend. You were at the Bill, right? You were at the Bill. I think you were at the Bill.
It was a
one-sided affair. Much more one-sided than I anticipated, but K-State was dominant on defense. They could do whatever they wanted on offense. TCU offered little to no resistance in the game.
yeah, no chance. I was surprised as well, but I was at the Bill. You're right. I was at the Bill for this one, and I expected a little bit more competition, actually, from TCU. This, again, was the rematch of the thrilling Big 12 title game from a year ago where K-State upset TCU. Yeah, I was expecting – by the way, I'm going to pull this plug in here. If you did not listen to the crossover that I did with fellow Locked On Horned Frog, Steven Simcox, you can go check that out as well. That's on the Pro Project Podcast feed as well. That is the second year in a row that I have had an opportunity to do that with Steven, so that was a lot of fun to do that with him as well. Yeah, I was expecting to be much more a competitive game than that, for sure, given the fact that these two teams have been playing close football for the past couple of years. I know there's been some one-siders here and there, particularly here in Manhattan, Kansas, when TCU comes here. It was definitely one-sided for sure. K-State just did not let off the gas in this one from start to finish, literally, and led by the two-headed monster at quarterback, Will Howard and Avery Johnson. Alex, what were your thoughts of this rotating quarterback system and how well the quarterbacks played this one?
Yeah, you know, obviously that's the biggest story of the game. I mean, the defense was obviously dominant. That's a big story too. But that's what most people care about, the quarterback situation. honestly, Eddie, I thought for this game, it worked very well. For this immediate game, for the immediate future, that's a good. What they have is working. Don't know how long they can sustain what they did on Saturday night, but it worked. It worked against TCU. I think the game, honestly, had dictated a lot of kind of what we saw with Will and Avery in regards to kind of the splits every other series, every game. I don't know if that was necessarily K-State's plan. Well, in case they get the score and a stop and a score and a stop, and then you got a big lead, and TCU's not, again, they're no resistance. may as well just keep alternating drives and letting them both get work and see if somebody can separate themselves. But they both were really good. Again, for this particular game, the rotating quarterback system that I'm typically not a fan of worked very well. It worked very well, and it did keep TCU on their toes. And I thought one thing that K-State actually did a really nice job of was, well, first off, Chris Klieman running the boat down the first play. I thought it was hilarious. Doing a jet sweep to Avery. I thought that is just like ultimate trolling from Chris Klieman out there. So I loved it. That's like something I do in Madden or into college football when it comes back next year. But beyond that, I thought Paul Klein did a really nice job of kind of attacking the TCU defense with opposite tendencies than what they were probably expecting. Because there's a little bit of a misconception out there that Will is really the throwing quarterback and Avery's the running quarterback. But the reality of the situation is Will can't run it and Avery can't throw it. And we know that. But, again, there's a bit of a misconception about that. So they have Will in the game early on on that first drive. And they throw in some quarterback design runs when TCU may have been in some pass looks defensively. Will gashes them. He got a huge run down the left sideline. I believe it was a 30-yard run up the sideline. And so there in the first drive, he gets that, and they take advantage of that, and they bring Avery in. And TCU, did a better job at defending the quarterback run game than Texas Tech did. Avery definitely got hit more, taken down more. But on that first drive, they ended up going over the top to Jace Brown on the big ball. And they ended up going over the top twice to Jace Brown. With Avery, and Jace Brown made just amazing play. So they kind of aired it out with Avery when the defense had been expecting a little bit more of a QB run game. So I liked Colin Klein kind of going against the tendencies and really keeping the defense on their toes that way. And I think that it really kind of, again, I don't know how good, I'm not going to act like TCU's defense are good, but I think it loosened things up a little bit. I think K-State had TCU's defense on their toes. I don't think they ever knew what was coming at them, and you're rotating quarterbacks in, and then you're trying to defend the run against Avery, and then he hits you over the top with a, with a big pass to one of their receivers down there. Also some good tight end play as well, like K-State, but hits him with a pass to Jace Brown, 43-yard pass, and then Will comes in, and then they defend the pass, 30-yard run down the sideline. So really nice job there. I thought honestly, Eddie, Avery got a lot of praise after the game, and I think that was worth it. It was worth the praise. He again had some really nice moments. He had the two nicest throws of the game, I thought. Those two balls to Jace Brown. I think that Will sort of just flowered, man. 10 of 16, 154 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He was a lot more methodical out there. I thought that he took a lot more with the defense was giving him. I thought he was patient. Again, take this a little bit of a grain of salt because TCU's defense was not providing much resistance. But Will was not out there trying to force passes the way he was against Oklahoma State. He was not out there throwing fastballs to his running backs in the running back screen game. He wasn't out there doing that stuff. He looked a lot better, a lot cleaner, a lot crisper. And again, like I said, when he's QBR on nearly 100 from him, 3 touchdown passes, no turnovers. He rushes for an additional 62 yards. And combines for over 200 yards. So I definitely think that, I understand Avery getting the flowers, but I mean, I really think that Will deserves a lot of credit for what he did. And Chris Klieman talks about that in his postgame and talks about, he's a lifeblood of this offense. He's a heartbeat of this offense. I can't remember if he said heartbeat or not, but he said lifeblood. So that clearly tells you what they think of Will, and I think that's the correct assessment. I really think that Will is an integral part of this offense. It showed out there. For Avery, quick note on him. I thought that he had some moments that he had some struggles, I think,
yeah.
up there.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a good thing. You know, I think that, again, talking about, you know, not a lot of resistance, there was not a lot of resistance for Avery against Texas Tech. He had to kind of go through some freshman growing pains out there. And I think that's a good thing for him. I think he'll learn from those. I think those are good opportunities to be able to go through those in a win and still play well. I think it's a good thing. And so I think that's going to make Avery better in the long term, that you know, that TCU was able to keep him followed up a little bit in the run game, hold him to 4.6 yards a carry, which still is pretty good, and, you know, hold him to 50% passing, which, again, a few of those were throwaways. But I think that was a good thing. I think that will be good for Avery in the long term.
Yeah, Avery, yeah, he had some freshman moments out there, but he still made some beautiful throws out there.
Oh, yeah.
And before we transition to the defense, I do want to highlight, no, I did see this late in the day there. The emergence of Jace Brown, 4 catches, 88 yards in this game, and a touchdown. First touchdown, I believe, of his K-State career. And from what I saw on the K-State Twitter feed, he's on the first team as of today, joining Phillip Brooks and Jaden Jackson. And moving Keegan Johnson, the bigger story, Keegan Johnson, RJ Garcia, back to the second team. So we talked about the receivers. We talked about the receivers last week on this podcast. So I wanted to bring that up there.
Well, and you know, look, I just a quick note of that. They deserve to get bumped. You know, if you're not going to go out and perform, and this is not trying to take a dig at, you know, RJ or Keegan, but they've been non-existent. And if you're going to be non-existent on the field, you shouldn't see the field. You've got young freshman wide receivers in Jace Brown and Trey Spivey who have got really bright futures. So if they're not going to step up and make plays, you know what? Roll the freshmen out, see if they can make plays, and put a little pressure on RJ and Keegan to get their you-know-what in gear and play some better football.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Finish the line on the receivers. Phillip Brooks in this game, 3 catches for 31 yards. Rashawn Ward on the ground, 89 yards on 17 carries. DJ Giddens, 85 yards on 9 totes. Giddens with a big touchdown run that first half there as K-State literally ran away from TCU in this one, 41-3 in this the rematch of the Big 12 title game from a year ago. Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden for the Purple Project Podcast. So that, the receivers, that's going to be a continued storyline, I'm afraid, for the rest of the year. But how about this defense? And oh, by the way, K-State still undefeated at home here in 2023. You got Houston coming in here for homecoming this Saturday. What a dominating performance by this K-State defense. Alex there really balling up the freshman quarterback, Josh Hoover, holding him to under 200 yards, throwing the ball, 23 of 43, got picked, got intercepted there as well. Let's see, Imani Bailey, you knew how you had to contain him, and I thought K-State did a good job doing that. I know they had some big runs, of course, but he still had his 100 yards, exactly 12 carries, 100 yards there. But K-State defense was ready to play. And again, I got to give a shout out real quick to the crowd. Another sellout at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. K-State Nation, y'all showed out last Saturday night. So again, like Chris Klieman talked about in his press conference, y'all going to be needed again for that early kickoff, 11 a.m. for Alex. That's 9 o'clock your time, I believe.
9 a.m. for me? Oh, yeah.
You get that coffee ready for you.
I'll get the coffee. It'll prep you for the Chiefs Dolphins game in Germany that is 6:30 in the morning the week after. So this is the pregame.
I know some of my friends that are part of the running group that are Chiefs fans are not looking forward to missing that one the game next week.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's right. Chiefs Dolphins, 2 best teams in the AFC right now, and you put it at 6:30 a.m.
The defense there, Jacob Parrish had another good game. He was one of the leading tacklers in this one. Desmond Purnell, how about the riding for him? Missed a sure pick six and then gets a pick later on off of Josh Schuler there as well. Kobe Savage had himself another game. The secondary, we talked about them quite a bit this year to this point, all up there in the tackles position. VJ Payne, Will Lee, he's been dealing with some, been nicked up as of late there, but they all came to play. Alex, what are your thoughts on this tremendous defensive performance there, holding TCU to Sonny Dykes' offense to 3 points?
Yeah, quick note too here before I go to the defense. Just want to give a shout out to the KC's rushing game. 343 rushing yards against TCU, which is insane. And K-State is now has the most rushing yards of any of the Power 5 schools in the country right now. Averaging the most per game. I forget if it's averaging the most per game or if it's the most rushing yards. One of the two. Either way, rushing game has been dominant for K-State. And I believe they've rushed over 200 yards in 5 of their 7 games this year. So I want to say that's a statistic. So dominant. Trayshawn Ward he's popping, dude. The last two games, he is just really popped. He's just hitting stride right now. And mentioning hitting the stride, defense is definitely hitting their stride as well. Because that TCU offense, Eddie, that's a good offense. You know, and I understand that, Josh Uber is a true freshman. But he's also a true freshman, threw for damn near 500 yards against BYU last week. And what, 4 touchdowns, I believe it was. And just shredded on it. Scored 44 points against BYU. And look, I'm gonna take a mini shot at Cole Manbeck on the 3-Mile podcast. He talked about BYU, how he thinks they suck. BYU's 5-2. They're 5-2 and they're 2-2 in Big 12 play. I don't understand. They're sucking. They played one bad game against TCU and then they lost a competitive game on the road to KU, which is absolutely nothing to be ashamed about. So I don't understand that. I don't know what his issues are at BYU. I think BYU's been the best of the 4 by far that have been integrated.
I agree with you.
Yeah, my point is I think he discredited BYU way too much when he was talking about the TCU 33-point win. I think that was a good win for TCU, getting a 33-point win over a BYU team that's 5-2. I think with your freshman quarterback, that's something that they should be proud of. And I think that shows how impressive K-State was able to, defensively slow the pace down. TCU wants to go so fast, and K-State really slowed that pace down. TCU could never get in a rhythm. And it's just because K-State did a really nice job of, just being disruptive. Just being disruptive on defense. You obviously mentioned Desmond Purnell. He was all over the field. He had a sack. He had a near pick 6. And then he also had another. And he did have an interception later in the game as well. So he had the chance for 2. He really did. And so he was all over making plays and really filling that void. No Daniel Green. You're wondering, how's this linebacking core gonna be able to come together? Purnell was really, really good. And so was Austin Moore. And Austin Moore also had a half sack out there as well. Was flying around. Had a really, really nice, a couple really, really nice tackles in that game. One other thing that I think K-State's defense did better, Eddie, is I didn't think they tackled very well against Texas Tech 2 weeks ago. They played with better energy than they did, against Oklahoma State, when they were up against Texas Tech, but they did not tackle well. I thought they tackled a lot better against TCU. So that's something that is, a good thing to see. And I think that, again, you saw it with Austin Moore out there. John Banks had a big sack play in that game too, coming up the gut. Some of the best pressure that you can get there is up the gut. So K-State did a lot of nice jobs. Jake Compares had a really nice pass deflection as well, which I was kind of curious how Jacob Parrish would do with the lack of size that he had in comparison to the size of some of these big TCU receivers. But I thought Jacob Parrish was really good, and I thought K-State was just really good. Sticking with these receivers, that was probably what I was most concerned about, Eddie, was just the height, the physicality of those TCU receivers, and K-State just being still a little bit green in the secondary. And we also, we didn't know if Will Lee was going to play or not, and I was a little about that, but I think K-State secondary came out and did a really, really nice job. And then obviously this was their best performance of the year. I don't think that there's any any disputing that. It was the best performance of the year. Also going to give a shout out to Keenan Carver. He was also, you know, I mentioned Harry stuck on the like Velcro. Keenan Carver was stuck on like Velcro, and it continues to amaze me to see what he does. When you think that this time last year he's still playing receiver, and now he's, you know, he did what he did in the Big 12 championship game, and now we see what he's doing this year. I mean, he's a starting quarterback. I mean, and he's starting. Like it is amazing what Keenan Carver's done. So
yeah.
He had a couple really nice pass deflections in there too. So all in all, you got to be really happy with it. Again, that's a good TCU offense. I knew that I didn't think their defense was great, but I did think that they had a pretty good offense, a respectable offense. They did get gashed in the run game a little bit. They still gave up a couple big plays. They get 35-yard run to Amani Bailey. But outside of that, you know, TCU's big, they didn't have a reception for 20 more than, you know, those 20 plus yards. So KC did a nice job of, you know, limiting the big play through the air, which was something important. And it'll be interesting to see if that can carry over. Obviously, they have to continue to play at this level, and there is still room for them to improve. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. Definitely room for improve. How about this, though? I think there's a final note on them. We saw last year, Mizzou was down 40-6 against K-State. They drove, didn't want them to get a score on K-State at the end of the game, and they did on the last play of the game. And then we saw it was UCF this year. They wanted to get a score on K-State at the end of that game that K-State won. It was 44-27-28, I forget what it was, and then they got a score. No, it was 44-24, I believe. And they got a score at the end of the very, very end of the game in a meaningless drive where they could have taken a knee. Again, TCU tried to do the same thing. They tried to score at the very end, hit a touchdown. That would have been a meaningless touchdown. And I actually thought it was a really good thing, Eddie, that they were able to put their foot down and get that stop. Because it's not three times in less than a year. A team, a K-State's just kicking their ass. It's just like, yeah, you know, I want to get a meeting. Hey, I just want to get a touchdown at the end. I just want to end this game with a touchdown. And the first two times K-State gave up that touchdown, it's kind of a mentality thing. It doesn't mean anything, but being able to step up and say, no, we're going to stop you with our backups, and to have that mentality to be able to do that, I just thought, you know, again, that's not going to impact the game, but the ripple effects of that, and really kind of that, you know, it just enforces that Lynch Bob mentality. It just, you know, gives them a little bit of extra juice. So I thought it was a good thing that they were able to get that stop on the final play against TCU. But all in all, you got to be really happy.
Yes, if you're a K-State fan, you do have to be happy. The building blocks put up by this defense there, and I was about to say, yeah, all the timeouts called by TCU there. I'm glad that K-State stopped them from getting to the end zone. This is the Pearl Project Podcast postcast wrapping up here. Getting close to wrapping up this episode here as K-State absolutely blowing the doors off TCU last Saturday night at the Bell, 41-3. Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Alex Ain out there in San Diego. I'm going to get this note in here before we kind of look at the standings and get your prediction on Houston. K-State, back to the offense real quick. K-State put up 587 yards, right? On offense was the sixth most in K-State history there, and the second most this season by this K-State offense there. And they only limited TCU to 300-yard total yards exactly there as well. Horned Frogs, well, 188. There is their season average right there, if I'm reading that correctly. But absolutely dominant performance there from the offense and the defensive side as well. So you got to carry that momentum. You got to get better each week, right? Got to get better. And now, and speaking of BYU, let's just go to that real fast. BYU, still in the top of the league, right? Top half of the league anyways right now. K-State, a couple spots in front of them behind Oklahoma State. Of course, they got tiebreaker. Texas was K-State. Still no time to be determined on that huge Texas game. But K-State's got to take care of business on homecoming weekend against Houston, which took Texas to the limit over the weekend. Houston, 1-3 in conference play. And they're coming to Manhattan on early Saturday morning, 3-4 on the year there. This is going to be the first time that these two teams meet on the football field. For those of you who will not be able to make this early kickoff game on homecoming, will be on ESPN2. So, Alex, send the stage up for homecoming. You got Dana Holgorsen, our old friend from West Virginia, now on coaching this team. He's been a coach for Houston for a couple of years now, if I'm not mistaken. And can K-State – this is the tricky thing because early morning kickoffs can be very, very tricky. You got to be motivated, obviously, to do what you did against TCU. You have to carry this momentum in here because Houston took Texas to the wire last week. So you have to be ready to play. It's college football. Anything can happen. All right, so Alex, your prediction on Houston and what K-State needs to do here real quick to pull out, to keep, to stay unbeaten at home.
Yeah, and honestly, what part of the Big 12, Eddie? It's been a walk. You can't predict what's going to happen anywhere this year. So yeah, you absolutely cannot take the game for granted. Yeah, K-State should win. They should win comfortably. They're a 17-point favorite. But you can't take anything for granted. Again, just look back last weekend. Houston just about damn near beat Texas. And just a quick note about the Big 12 standings before we dive into that, this is a trap game. This game against Houston, because K-State has that huge matchup with Texas coming up after that. And then, on the backside of Texas, K-State's going to be favored in their final three games against Baylor, KU, and Iowa State. And so it really is a game with huge Big 12 title implications. And just a side note, if you're a K-State fan, I think at this point, Eddie, you probably just want Oklahoma just to kind of run the table and them get to Arlington because they play KU and you want KU to probably get a loss. They play Oklahoma State. You probably want Oklahoma State to get a loss. And then just hope that, you beat Texas. I think that's K-State, what K-State's, needs to hope for. At this point, and even if that means you beat Texas and you lose to KU, you still can sneak in two losses. Maybe get a loss to Texas. That really is going to put you out. So I really think that K-State, whether or not they end up in Arlington, it comes down to whether or not they win in Austin. I really, really do. But that's just a side note with the Big 12 standings. The particular Houston game, I think K-State wins it 45-10. It has the setups of a trap game, Eddie. Mm-hmm. It really does. But I think it is going to come out prepared. I do. I think they're going to come out. I think they're going to have some swagger. I think they're going to have some energy. I think they're going to, they're really focusing on, about keeping the outside noise out and really just focusing on the inside noise. I think that's what they're going to do. And if they do that, they're a better football team than Houston. I think Houston may have kind of emptied the chamber against Texas trying to get that win and have that emotional loss. I kind of wonder if they're going to have a letdown. I'm a little bit granted they will have Donovan Smith healthy. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But I think K-State comes out. I think that they have a relatively similar type of game against TCU. We'll see what happens. Just the one thing I think K-State needs to get figured out, Eddie, is the quarterback situation. Because it still feels like there's a lot up in the air with who's your starter, what are you guys going to do. They got to have that figured out by Texas. Like, they cannot go to Texas doing what they're doing right now, I don't believe. They got to figure something out. Doesn't mean both can't play against Texas. They absolutely can have both play against Texas, but they can't be doing an alternating series. They can't say, well, we'll just see how it goes. Like, you got to have a plan. You got to have a plan or you're not going to have a chance in Austin. So if they can get a lead against Houston, use some time, use a little bit of time to try to figure that quarterback situation out. And just get a little bit more clarity on that because they really, really need that. I really think that they do. But I think they get a comfortable win. I think they get a comfortable win against Houston, and it sets up a big matchup with Texas on the board.
Looking forward to this weekend as Houston comes into Manhattan on homecoming Saturday to take on K-State. And that's interesting that you brought up the quarterback situation. You want to get that figured out for Texas. We'll just see what card unfolds throughout the week here. But, unfinished business, you have to take care of Houston first before you can figure out a permanent solution to the quarterback situation there as well. He is Alex Aiden. I'm Eddie Greer. This has been another edition of the Purple Project Podcast. Alex will be back later on in the week. We're going to be talking men's and women's basketball and whatever else decides to come up this week with K-State Sports. Until then, that's going to do it for right now. Appreciate you guys for listening to another postcast edition Victory Monday on the Purple Project Podcast. K-State beats TCU 41-3.
Thank you for- for listening to the Purple Project Podcast. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts. We'll talk to you all on the next episode of the Triple P Podcast. Go Cats!